The Geek News Center Podcast, a member of the Tech Podcast Network, which can be found at techpodcast.com. It's 22 March 2005. Welcome to the podcast.
Get ready, get set, strap yourself in. The Geek from Geek News Central is on the air. Here is your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I am Todd the Geek from Geek News Central. And welcome to the podcast. We have a great day for a great show for you. And I am feeling much better. Still got a little bit of a cough, but not like anything like last week. Isn't it terrible when you get the flu? I think all of us will get it from time to time. And boy, it just puts you down in the dirt. And I had it pretty good, but I'm glad to be back with you in 100% in body. And we definitely got a great show for you. For our new listeners, we want to welcome you, and depending on how you found us, we want to make sure that you always get back to the main website at www.geeknewscentral.com. Check out the website content, and also make sure you click on the podcast link for all the old shows. All the archives are there. And wow, a lot of developments. This weekend I was, you know, it's been nonstop since about January, folks. And it's been I got some great stories I'm going to be able to tell you here, and in the next month, a month and a half, 2 months, it's just a whole bunch of stuff that's been going on that things are coming to fruition that which we're going to be able to share with you, and we're going to have a great time doing it. And I'm really excited about a lot of things that developed over the weekend and this morning. And my email box has been a blaze of just all kinds of fun happenings. For me, anyway. I can't share with you guys yet, but it is forthcoming. I had a very fun and eventful weekend. It all started out on Saturday. Did some stuff with the kids during Saturday, during the daytime. I say we went riding bikes. What else did we do? We went to... we went downtown for a little bit, walked around, got out of the house a little bit. And I came back, and I had some work to do, and they got them some movies. You know, the wife is still in Japan, and I tell you a little bit about Japan. I love the country. I love going there and visiting, and, you know, I love the food. So, of course, she's telling me, you know, I'm going to this little favorite restaurant that we go to, and I'm having udon, or I'm having sushi here, or we're going to this place that you and I like. And, of course, my mouth is watering, and, of course, you know, Hawaii is great. It's got like 10,000 restaurants, so whatever you want to eat. So there's really no lack of choices on food here in Hawaii. So it's not like I'm really messing out big time or anything. It's, you know, we got stuff to eat here. You know, one of the reasons we sent her to Japan is I have a part of my dental plan with my my place I work at. I think all of us probably have the same issue. Dental plans are terrible in the United States. And I've got a great medical plan, but the dental stuff part of it just is terrible. Well, she needed, I think, like three caps redone, a root canal, two root canals, one re-root canal. So, I mean, she had a lot of dental work that needed to be done. And she'd been putting it off and putting it off. And I kept telling her, you got to go. So this stuff was building up. And so here in Hawaii, she went and had everything looked at, and she came home with an estimate, and she threw the estimate down on the table, and I looked at the estimate of the total dental work she needed to be done, and I said, is insurance going to cover that? She said, insurance is only going to cover 1,000 of that, and your bill is going to be like $4,200. yeah, I about choked, and I was like, wow, you know, it might be a good idea for you to go home and see your parents. And because you know why? In Japan, they have great dental coverage. Great. It's absolutely wonderful. So she has been spending a lot of time in the dental chair in Okinawa. So it hasn't been all that fun for her. But guess what? I'm going to save myself about $3,000 by having her do the dental work over there instead of doing it here. I guess it must be all that liability or something. I don't know. Do Japanese not sue? How can the dental be that much cheaper there than it is here? But regardless, I'm pretty happy, and her family's obviously happy that they're getting to getting some time to visit with her. Okay, on Sunday, actually, I was going to tell you here, on Saturday evening, it was late, I got an email from a guy that's been working on a program called Blog Torrent. And all of you on the show should already know what BitTorrent is. And BitTorrent is a P2P, peer-to-peer file sharing software program that's primarily used by guys sharing music and videos and stuff they probably shouldn't be sharing. But there is a legitimate use for peer-to-peer, and it's a great mechanism for distributing large files quickly amongst multiple people. And it's great for podcasters, especially considering how many of you are listening to the show now. My bandwidth is out of control. So this came at a great, great time, because BlogTorrent has morphed and they have made some additions to the program so that the program now allows what's called server-side seeding. And what's amazing about that is it runs a standard BitTorrent tracker on my, I can run a standard BitTorrent tracker on my server. And also at the same time, the server can seed the file. So tomorrow morning, when you guys hit this thing, you know, and I get hit 3,000 downloads in the first, you know, 4 or 5 hours that the show is up online, and those of you that are on torrents can kind of help me distribute this, or those of you that are subscribed to our torrent feed can help us distribute the load a little bit. And what the problem podcasters have been having is that, you know, typically you have to put your torrent up on a tracker, you host the file on your broadband connection. So when the server gets hit for all these downloads, your poor little broadband connection is trying to feed this file out to a number of people that are requesting it. And what happens is torrent clients time out. It just takes too long to start the seeding process where that file will spread quickly. But what BlogTorrent and with the seeding capability does on the server is my server actually has the big enough pipe that it will seed the file quickly. Now, I know that's going to be Greek to a lot of you, but those of you that are familiar with BitTorrent and are using podcast aggregators or podcatchers that are torrent capable, I'm going to put a link up on the show notes tonight. I want you guys to start switching to that if you can. We're going to be running the tracker. And that way I can at least keep track of what's going on with that, you know, with the volume of bandwidth going out of there. And I have control of it, and I feel much, you know, it just fits better with me. So what you're going to find a new link on the website to the new RSS 2.0 feed for the BlogTorrent feed. Please subscribe to that new link, please. The old one, which pointed back to our old service, is not going to serve anything up. As a matter of fact, we'd already peaked our bandwidth out with them within like 10 days this month, so it had to be moved. I'd like to tell you guys today about the Motorola MPX. It is a Microsoft-powered cell phone that will blow you away. It not only has a QWERTY keyboard, built-in Wi-Fi, built-in Bluetooth, and built-in megapixel camera, it also has a dual hinge mechanism, which you can open the Motorola MPX either as a clamshell smartphone or as a super mini notebook. Learn more about this fantastic dual hinge phone and other Microsoft-powered cell phones at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. Thanks for MS Mobiles for being your sponsor. Okay, I've had this idea for a while, and it all stems around what I've been doing with techpodcast.com, and I've been wanting to, I've got this dream, you know, this dream of a podcast directory, you know, something I've kind of thought of in my head, and I looked around on the net trying to find something that could be adapted or would work. You know, I'd find pieces of a directory that said, yeah, that's part of it, that looks good. And I'd go over another place and I'd say, yeah, that looks good. But nothing quite does what I'm considering to be maybe the ultimate podcast directory. So I came up with an idea. And well, not with an idea. I just tried to put kind of some of these ideas down on paper. So, and basically what I did is I submitted this to the to the iPodder or the podcast mailing list. And what I want is I want a directory, a standard directory that has the listings of podcast shows, descriptions, and a directory that I can search. You know, just a regular standard directory. It's kind of like dmoz.org, dmoz.org. But along with that, what I want that directory to do is I want that directory to be an aggregator so that it will go out and grab RSS feeds and build an index for each of those listings in that directory. Then each leg of that directory, if it's be a, you know, and I'm thinking about it for tech. So let's say I have a tech that goes a subline to administrators or a subline to general chat or a subline to Mac users, whatever it may be. I want there to be independent RSS feeds for each of those lines in that directory. So basically, you're going to start with a huge list, basically a huge OPML or huge RSS list of feeds. Then as you drill down into the directory, you get a smaller and smaller and smaller list of feeds. So eventually, you may end up with, you know, how many ever are in a particular category. So not everybody's going to want to subscribe to all those feeds. So what I also want this thing to do is I want to be able to, so that you can go through and say, yeah, I want this one, this one, this one, this one, and that one. And it will build you a custom OPML file that you can import into your podcast aggregator or into a podcatcher, whatever you may be using. If you're using iPod or iPod or X, if you're using Doppler, if you're using Blog Matrix, whatever you may be, or JPod, or depending on whatever one you're using, you can import that in, and you have your own little custom feed, all right? But that would be on, a, you know, built from a directory. And it's kind of, I kind of count like a hybrid. So let me see. I got some points that I went over. I got that. I've got the second on what I want to do with the directory legs. I want for the listings. So basically, this thing is going to be what it's going to do if we can build it. It's going to be a repository, basically, so that, you know, let's say that you heard something on a podcast and you thought, man, I listened to that one time and I know what the subject is. I sure'd like to find that. So you can go to the directory. You can search for a term, and hopefully if the podcaster is smart in creating good show notes that has been aggregated and he has all his information in his RSS feed, you will be able to find that old show. So, because, you know, management of all these files, I'm sure all of you are having problems managing all of the files that you're downloading and listening to. You know, we're all competing for your time. But sometimes you want to go back and listen to something, you have a hard time finding it. So the goal is to build, they're going to open a SourceForge project. And so any of you that are developers out there or are that have some experience in aggregation, whatever it may be, we're going to need help with this SourceForge project. And my goal is to make this open source, so that anybody could use it. So like techpodcast.com, when we build a little niche directory, we can use that for those of you that want to find stuff on tech or somebody want to do something on music or whatever the subject, basket weaving, I don't care, whatever the list is, or someone can build a full-fledged list. I don't think what is currently in use over iPodder.org, just a list of names of shows with no other information. You know, there's 4,000 shows in that list. How do you find anything? You don't. Now, some of the clients are allowing you to search, but all you're really doing is searching a name. That doesn't get you anything. There's a lot of great shows down in the, you know, basically buried in this directory that are not getting exposure that they should because people just can't find the information. So the goal is to build a better directory and build one that's custom for you that you can use. And I've got to propose this, and I'm sure it's been on a lot of people's mind. And again, there's iterations of this out there, but nothing's been completely built. So hopefully some programmers and some people that, you know, understand this stuff a heck of a lot better than me are going to be able to put this together and come up with something cool. And it may take us a while, who cares? But at least we put the idea forward, and we got some momentum, had some good feedback today. So if you're a programmer, if you're a developer, if you've got experience in this, we need your help. So you can send me an email to tech@techpodcast.com. I'll get you a link back to the directory that on SourceForge, or the, you know, where the project's going to be, and you guys can help us out. We'd appreciate that. Enough on that. Time for some more info here. Okay, what else have I got here? Techpodcast.com. We have got memberships piling up, and what we're working on right now is finalizing our charter, our mission statement, and our membership requirements before we add any new members. So if any of you are out there that are tech podcasters that have applied for techpodcast.com membership, just let you know, we'll get to you as soon as possible. Also, I want to point you guys at a podcast interview that I was on that came up today. It's podcast 411. So that is with an S, podcast 411.com. And I'll have the link up on the show notes. I had a great conversation about a week or so ago with the creator of that podcast. It was terrific. All right. I think that's it. And wow, time is flying. Okay, and at least I gave you a little bit of information on stuff that I have going here. All right, let's bring up the aggregator and get into some of the content. I want to talk to you about a article I found that is called Know Your Enemy, Tracking Botnets. It's basically a security discussion. It talks about the people that set up some honeypots, and basically a honeypot is a server that is pretty much, they open it up and allow it to be attacked, and then they study it. But there was it's a great article, pretty long, pretty in-depth. So those of you that are system administrators or interested in security need to check this out. It's really cool. And a lot of info, probably take a good 30 minutes to get through it. I didn't read the whole article. I want to, basically, I'm going to print it out and read it when I get time, because it's one of these articles I'm afraid I'm going to, you know, it's going to go into a list that I'm going to lose. And of course, it'll be in the show notes. So, but I, you know, if I don't print it, I'll probably forget to read it. Okay. Yahoo actually does acquire Flickr. So Flickr has been purchased by Yahoo. And looks like the product's not going to change that much. But they jokingly talk about here that they're going to be able to make payroll now where they weren't able to before. And I've used this product a little bit and been on the website. So if you haven't checked Flickr out, make sure that you check it out. I'll put a link up to it in the show notes, obviously. Okay, now, here is something. It's kind of disturbing. Are you guys familiar with the Macromedia Flash Player? It is now, by default, bundling the Yahoo toolbar in with it when you install it. So not only do you get the Macromedia Flash Player, but it also forces the Yahoo toolbar on you. Now, I don't know if it's going to allow you to uninstall the toolbar without uninstalling the Micromedia Flash Player. If it doesn't, if they're melded together tightly, and I think that is going to really put a hamper on, you know, what they, Macromedia, and what they've done with Flash. And they got a great product. Why do they want to do that? I just don't understand it. So, you know, another company, you know, sells out basically, and chasing the almighty dollar versus paying attention to what users really want and what they need, and forcing, you know, a piece of software on you when you don't ask for it. Okay. And on another note, apparently there is a spyware hack that is attacking Firefox users. And, you know, it's bound to happen. You know, Firefox is gaining popularity. So, of course, the hackers and crackers and those that write those little nasty codes that get into our machines and try to capture all kinds of data have now built one for Firefox. So, a link to the article. There's some solutions on how to basically avoid it. Now, it's one of those things where you're going to kind of have to do a little bit of, you're going to have to help the spyware get on your computer. And it's actually using a, see, here I am almost going to cough on you. It's going to do like a pop under solution. Now, let me take a little drink of iced tea. You know, I absolutely love iced tea with lemon in it. No sugar. You know, those of you that drink, put sugar in your iced tea, I don't understand what's wrong with you guys. Just kidding. But it's true. I can't handle any sugar in my iced tea. Okay. Next item. Let's see. Did I cover that? Yeah. So I'll link to that Firefox article. So go over there and see what they have to say. Good news for LiveJournal users. Hey, they have podcasting is now going to be supported by default. So those of you that are using LiveJournal can now, if you ever link an audio file in one of your posts, it's going to show up in your RSS feed, and also going to put a nice little phone symbol in your entry. So good news for the LiveJournal folks. And I got to thinking about that. Does TypePad have that already? Does TypePad already have enclosure support built in? Any of you guys using TypePad out there and heard anything on that circle? I did a search on that earlier today and didn't see anything. Now, here's something that's kind of funny. Google is going to be building a facility in the Dalles in Oregon. And it's kind of interesting about why they're going to be doing that. And I'm just going to read what Phil Rignotta has to say about this. And this can be found at philrignotta.com. While I thought the news last month that Google was planning on building a facility in the Dalles, Oregon was interesting, in a well cost of living, industrial land, labor, and pretty much everything ought to be low anyway sort of way, I didn't think too much about why the Dalles until today when I read Biz saying that Blogger was a bit slow because they had plenty of computers but not enough electricity. I'm going to stop there. Not enough electricity? You know, I can imagine. Can you guys imagine how many computers Google must have? How big is a building that they're in, or these facilities that they build? Are they like warehouses and they do nothing but stick racks of computers in them? Think about the power requirements. Not only the power requirements, the cooling requirements. So they're building this facility right close to a 1.8 million kilowatt generating monster. It's a, you know, it's a dam, I guess. So that is just, it blows me away. And they're going up there to get power cheaper. That's part of the reason. Anyway, so I don't know if they're going to use the river water for part of their cooling or not, but think about that. You have to go and build your facility next to a power plant because you don't have enough juice. I think it's hilarious. Okay, Mac users, put on your body armor, and you're going to have to prepare yourself. And here we go. This is the old fastest Mac, still slower than a PC. Oh, I know that some of you guys just cringe, right? And I'm not Mac bashing, not at all. Okay, I'm a Mac user too. I'm also a PC user. But in a head-to-head competition and some tests that were done, the fastest Mac is a G5 dual 2.5 gigahertz machine with 4 gigs of memory, and it's beaten in every test by one by a dual Intel Xeon 3.4 gigahertz PC with only 2 gigabytes of RAM. And it also talks about how the Xeon machine also built a dual AMD Opteron 248 2.21 gigahertz PC with 2 gigs of memory in all but one test. So, okay, sorry. But his point he makes here, and you'll never see it, is he says, I'm now waiting for Steve Jobs to buy some TV advertising that looks back at previous ads, you know, showing a Pentium on the back of a snail or someone being blown out of the house by a G5 Mac and apologizing. No way, no how, never. It's not going to happen. But, you know, people are going to say, hey, you don't need all the power. And I kind of maybe have a tendency to agree. You know, it's not necessarily the power that's under the hood, but how the applications are used. Ooh, does that sound like I'm becoming a Mac user? Some of you PC guys are out there cringing. I had some friends. I've got a buddy that I worked with in my previous job that I left in January. And his name's Steve. And Steve and I have been long time, hardcore PC users, Windows PC users. And so he does not know I have a Mac Mini. He didn't anyway. So Saturday, we are at a picnic, or actually at a barbecue Saturday after. It was, yeah, that's one of the places we went Saturday, was to a barbecue. And Steve and I were talking about podcasting. And matter of fact, I was talking with the whole group about podcasting and getting their points of view and what they thought on the medium and everything. And I said, "Oh, Steve, I got to tell you something." I said, "But you got to sit down first." And he kind of looks at me kind of funny. And Steve's older than me by maybe 20 years. And I said, "Sit down, Steve. Go ahead, sit down." And he sat down and I said, "Do you know what I have in my house right now?" And he goes, "What?" I said, "I got a Mac Mini." I'm serious, guys. He about fell out of his chair. Oh, that was a conversation for the next hour. And I explained to him why. I said, "You know, listen, I wanted to test the technology. I wanted to see what all the hype was about. I wanted to play with it, see what it does. And I'm still dedicated to going and using the Mini for a week straight here, probably in the middle of April." And he just couldn't believe it. And I got to talking to him about it. And, you know, he left shooken up. He was absolutely shooken up, you know, and it just, so every time, I actually saw him today at a meeting. We were at a meeting together, and he looked at me, and he pointed my finger, and he says, and he actually called me a traitor. "You bought a Mac. I can't believe, I still can't believe it." And so, you know, that's the reaction of some folks, but I thought you all would get a kick out of that. Okay, have you guys ever wondered if you've got a page on your website that's been Googled by or indexed by Google? There's times that I wonder too, you know, especially with Geek News Central. We've got 3,600 articles on there. I'm hoping that Google has them all indexed. And by the number of hits we get from Google itself, I'm sure it's pretty close. But there's a tool, and, you know, again, here we go. We're talking about loading the Google toolbar, and you guys know my feeling on that. But under options, if you have the Google toolbar loaded, under options, you click page info menu. And after that, you go to any web page and use the page info button on the toolbar menu, the blue circle with an eye inside, and select cache snapshot of page. And if it shows you the page, basically you know it's been indexed. So anyway, I'll point to this article. It'll be a good thing for you guys that are trying to make sure that Google's looking at your websites. Kind of nice, you know, and you know, I hate to say it, but I spend so much time searching on Google that I forget there are other search engines. And so I have to force myself sometimes to go over and use MSN and I barely ever use Yahoo anymore. I don't know why. I think a number of years ago when they started charging for entry into their directory, I kind of abandoned them. So, all right, what else? Hey, did you guys hear about Ask Jeeves being sold for $1.85 billion? Now think about that, $1.85 billion. That's some money, folks. That's big money. And, you know, they're not even, I didn't even really consider them that great of a search engine, but gosh, that's just totally outrageous. Okay, let's see here, what else have I got? Oh, Six Apart. Six Apart has released some tools, and of course, Six Apart is the company behind Movable Type, Life Journal, TypePad, and they have released some cool little tools. Most of the XML stuff, some Atom, SOAP, type key tools, and even some aggregation stuff. So go over there, and I got that linked up so you guys can check that out. I'm interested in the aggregation tool, and there's a write-up on. And what pointed me at this initially was another website, so I'll put that link up too. Talks about how some of these tools can be used, but you know, this kind of comes on the heels of Google basically doing their own little thing where they were linking to cool tools that they use or stuff that people have done with their API. All right, hey, here's a new site that has launched. It's called OurMedia.org, and I haven't had a lot of time to look at it yet, but it's going to be a place, and here's the headliner on it. "Welcome to OurMedia.org. Share your videos, audio files, photos, text, or software for free with a global community of creative individuals. Get your works noticed, recognized, make your voice heard. Register now." And there's a link on there that says, "Here's why." And they're basically saying they're going to host your stuff for free forever. So Oh, that's interesting. Is this kind of like a podcasting spinoff? I don't think so, but I haven't got enough information on it yet. Okay, hitting the iced tea again. All right. Samsung has released, and this is on Engadget, the YPTAC T7 MP3 player. This thing, they got a quarter beside it, and it's probably dimension-wise, if you stack two quarters on top of one another and put two dimes beside it, that's about the size of this thing. It is tiny, but what is cool about it, and this is what's going to give the Shuffle a run for its money, I think it's going to beat the Shuffle, be honest with you. It's got a little flip thing that opens up a USB connector, so you don't have to have any cables for it. But what's even nicer about it, it's got a little mini color screen. So you can actually navigate. It's got a little button navigator on top with easy to use controls. Okay. We know that I reported a couple weeks ago about DVD John and a hack he made to break some of the Apple digital rights management functions in iTunes. But I guess the party's over. CNET is reporting that Apple has fixed iTunes that you cannot use the, it's called PyFi Music, that interfaces DVD John and co-created to let, well, that doesn't make any sense. DVD John and company, I guess, that's created to let you buy DRM-free songs from iTunes. So they slammed the door on that. But apparently, they're going to force users to upgrade to the new version of iTunes, version 4.7.1. Before you can buy any more, you're going to have to upgrade. Hey, remember the Who? I said Who? Who? Did you remember when we talked about that a while back? Well, the Who was Eric Rice. And Eric Rice is now the new host of the Engadget podcast. And for those of you that have not listened to an Engadget podcast or have come new on the scene, need to get over to Engadget and check it out. They're going to have a once-a-week show, and it's going to be about 30 minutes. And looks like about 30-minute show. So, hey, congratulations to Eric Rice for getting that gig, and we wish him the best of luck. Okay. I got a link up here to something that says cannot find server. I found a link from Chris Prillo to a site called, and Chris Prillo is a techpodcast.com member, by the way. Anyway, I found a link to a program or a site called FeedTagger, feedtagger.com, and it's supposed to be similar to Bloglines. Haven't had a chance to check it out, but I heard it does pretty cool things. So we are going to get over there, and I'm going to get an account set up tonight to see what it does. So I thought I'd point you at that so you guys have a chance to take a look also. Okay, you guys heard on the International Space Station that they've got a gyro problem. But apparently, they got a circuit breaker that is broke or something that happened that causes gyro to shut down. And they've had, you know, periodic problems with these gyros. And these gyros are what keeps the International Space Station stabilized. But NASA is saying that it will not delay the shuttle launch. Probably, if anything else, they'll probably put another gyro or the circuit breaker on board to bring up. Now, they do say here that they're planning to repair the gyro. I guess they got one on the station during a spacewalk later this year. And they've done a similar repair before. This is to the same gyro. So, you know, that's not good. You know, I work in electronics. If you've got a piece of equipment that is burning out a circuit breaker, what that is an indication of is typically when this has a short or is pulling too many amps, the circuit breaker will pop. Well, I guess this mechanism that they have is they can reset it. You know, you don't have to send somebody out there to push the circuit breaker in or go change a fuse, obviously. But typically, I think these things would probably be automatically reset. So, you know, bang, it pops, pushes it back in, goes a little while, bang, pops, you push it back in. So over time, the circuit breaker becomes wore out. And sounds to me like they need to replace the gyro. So we'll see if they load one of those up on the shuttle and take it up there on its return to flight. All right, I'm almost done. I got everything wrapped up. Oh, nuclear energy may be back in vogue. You know, if this oil and gas prices keep going up, which I think they're going to, you know, they're projecting we may see $4 gas here by the end of the year. Can you imagine that? $4 gas. You know, overseas, Europe, Japan, and other countries, they pay $4 and $5 for gas right now for a gallon of gasoline. So I wouldn't be surprised if we're all paying $4 gas here by the end of the year. So when that kind of money is being spent on for fuel, obviously the electric companies, you know, if that doubles, that's going to double your electric bill overnight, because most of the electric plants are run on, you know, on oil. Some are coal still, I guess, but wow, I guess it's time to get in the nuclear power business again. I'm sure that's going to make some people not very happy, but hey, that's what we're going to have to do. All right, we're 35 minutes. This is the goal that I'm kind of shooting for, 35 to 40. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. And as always, I can be reached via our voicemail line at 619-342-7365. And also the Skype is Geek News Central. And obviously my email is geek@geeknewscentral. Now, this is show number 49, folks. Those of you who have been listening to 47 and 48 have been given quiz questions. So I know you're all tuned in here. And let's see here. Let's make this one easy. What am I going to ask you a question for? Oh, what podcast was I interviewed on? Give me the domain. This will be the third and final question. Give me the domain of the podcast that I was interviewed on. So you've got three questions that I've given you. You should have three answers. Send your answers to geek@geeknewscentral.com and put in the subject of the email contest. And then what I'll do is make sure you put your name on there so that I know your actual name. You can put a first name, last initial. That's, you know, that'll be fine. And what I'll do is everyone that does the sends in the questions correctly will, on the next show, right at the very beginning of the show, after we do the announcements, we'll have a drawing, and I'll have a nice prize to give out. So that'll be for show 50 here in the 50 state. And we're going to have a lot of fun. The next show is going to be a lot of fun because actually I'm going to be doing an interview on Hawaii NPR this coming Thursday. So I'll get home Thursday evening and also do the podcast for the next morning. And we'll have, so you're going to have to get your votes in or your answers into the contest by, let's make a deadline for you guys. We'll make it Thursday. It'll be 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time will be the latest time that I'll take your answers via email. So the latest time you can send in votes is on Thursday the 24th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And if you're later than that, you're not going to be in the contest. So send in the answers, and whoever gets drawn will do the drawing right here in the out of the hat. And I'll have a nice prize for you. I'm not telling you what it is yet. You guys don't know. You know, it could be a pencil. But then and again, it could be something really cool. Oh, that makes you think. All right. All right. That's it, folks. And 38 minutes and some seconds. We're done. And we're out of here. And we'll see you again Friday morning for the show. Thank you for tuning in, and hey, I'm glad to be back and feeling better, and I'm sure you guys are glad to have me back in rare form, so that's it, and hey, send us some comments. We want to hear some feedback. Let's get some email. Let's get some reader email back to us, so that our listener email. I love getting email from you guys telling us what you think of the show. Thanks, folks. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.